This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Career Builder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And Career Builder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits, jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
How do you prepare your kids today to succeed in tomorrow's world? With Juni, the online learning experience equipping the next generation of students to solve the world's largest problems. Choose from popular STEAM courses like coding, investing, novel writing, and all new robotics, crypto, app development, 3D design, and more. With all types of learning formats and project-based curriculum, your student will be ready to take on the real world. Visit junilearning.com and enter promo code IHEART30 at checkout for 30% off.
Do you suffer from Zoom fatigue? Otter.ai is here to help. Use Otter.ai to get automatic meeting notes. You can even step away from the meeting and catch up anytime. Get started for free at Otter.ai or download in the app stores. That's Otter.ai.
The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Inside the Garage podcast. I'm Kyle Hamilton, along with
KJ Wallace,
Connor Addian,
and Cam Hart.
So we're recording this after the playoff rankings came out. It's going to be attached to a podcast that we recorded last week. Couldn't release it because there's some news that happened in the program. I'm sure you guys know about that by now. But somebody left, and somebody's a new coach. But we had to upload some stuff about that, so we're just going to attach this one to the front of the one that we recorded previously. But first, happy 21st birthday, my boy Cam Hart.
Yes, sir.
Bottom left? Yep. There we go. happy birthday,
appreciate
Cam.
Appreciate it.
Old man now.
Appreciate that.
Before we start talking about the playoff, how was your birthday?
It was great. It was great. My girlfriend took to Chicago, got dinner, had some fun out, got a massage, went to a beer spa, if anyone knows what that is. If you don't know what that is, you need to go to Piva Spa, maybe.
No free pub.
Oh, facts.
Are you got no free ass?
NIO we don't know about?
Went to Chicago, came back here today, went to breakfast. Y'all took me out to Barlowly. It's good.
Shout out Barlowly.
I don't feel old, bro.
No, happy birthday, Cam.
Thanks, buddy.
Big birthday. Big old birthday.
Yes.
Legal. There's only two of us left, me and Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to reach that mark.
Young Bucks.
Lost mm-hmm. soldiers.
Y'all keep up. we'll do OG.
I thought OG.
So the playoff situation, obviously, we did not make it in. Number five, right outside. We need a lot of stuff to go our way. Saturday, unfortunately, only one of those things happened. We can touch base on the Oklahoma State game later. But yeah, Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma State. Thoughts?
Well, I guess my first thought when I saw who we were matched up against, I thought as Notre Dame, we always pride ourselves on like having a diverse, but like a strong schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be really cool because this is a different team. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
Big 12. I think we're going to match up well, though. But I just felt like that was probably my first initial reaction. That this is a different team.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a little bit of the game. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Caught the end of the game yesterday. And they kind of remind me of an ACC team because they did a lot of RPO at the end of the game, at least.
Yeah.
When I found out we were playing them today, I was kind of excited because this is the first time that Oklahoma State and Notre Dame has ever played in team history. Like, it just will be interesting. I don't know what to expect from that conference or teams that's in that conference. Right. Type of athletes they got or anything like that. So it'll be interesting.
It's funny. They've like been right behind us this whole year, right? Like mm-hmm. six, even seven. Before that game, I hadn't really watched them. But I'm definitely, excited for the game. It's like Cam said, it's the first time we'll ever play them. I think that's pretty cool. Cool venue. I mean, Arizona, the Fiesta Bowl. And at the end of the day, it's a New Year's Six Bowl, right? And those are hard to get into and those are fun. And I don't know, it should be interesting just because it's a completely different team than we've ever, played or seen. So,
right.
How much of the excitement is getting a PS5?
A ton. And for me, yeah, a ton. I was thinking also that just the fact that it's convenient for me, like being able to stay in Arizona and things like that after. And then Gamer Cam's going to make a comeback.
Gamer Cam.
Coming back.
I haven't had a console. I didn't have one last year in the apartment. I don't have one now. So might be bad for the grades in the spring semester. So
this will make up for how I got finessed at GameStop when I sold my PSP. I'm with it.
It's kind of interesting what we were talking about at dinner, though. The fact that we've played on, like, I guess, every spectrum of, like, the end of the season, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we played in a regular bowl game in the Camping World. Then we got playoffs.
Yeah.
Then we got a New York Six, so that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Just touch on Oklahoma State. Let's talk about their last game because y'all obviously watched. I know KJ watched. I heard him jumping up and down from upstairs.
I was so lit, bro.
Connor watched it, but I thought Baylor's defense was playing hella good. And obviously, I don't really watch Big 12 football like that, but like they had some dudes who were balling. Like they had a safety who was balling. The D tackle was going crazy too. And just like Oklahoma State's offense couldn't get anything going. But then at the end of the game, old boy thought he was Superman and was going to die from the 6-yard line. I was watching. I was like, damn, he's about to score. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? He just dove out of bounds, bro. I was like, dang, this is crazy. What was y'all's thoughts just watching the game? Connor, let's let you start.
Well, I watched the beginning of the game and it was exciting, right? The Baylor quarterback started, I believe, like 17-17.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I was like, all right, so this is good for us. And then I watched the end of it and obviously I saw that. And I mean, just I thought he was gonna get in at first, and so I was like, "Oh, great!" And like, I was watching the game with like probably 30 of our teammates. And so when he didn't score, it was like this huge celebration. It was like, "Oh, everyone's like jumping up and down." And but then Baylor had to run like that. I mean, they were on like the 1/2-yard line, so they still had to run a play to make sure
it wasn't a safety.
Yeah, so everyone's like jumping down. And everyone's like, "We have to watch the last part of this game." And then they did. They got it, and they like QB sneaked it. And I was like, "All right." And I thought, it was gonna be good from there, but other games did not follow as we would have hoped.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not trying to talk about another player like that, but I'm trying to see if I'm the only one that noticed this. Is Mears the quarterback's body language like horrible the whole game?
What's your quarterback?
Oklahoma State.
He threw 4 picks though, bro. Probably wasn't having a best.
Yeah, but it seemed like even from the jump, he was like, I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but
4 picks?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4.
No tugs.
Last time they played Baylor, I think he had 2 picks.
And they was about to win the game.
It was like 6 picks in 3 quarters or something like that.
Yeah. I'm not going to speak for him, but he might have had that in the back of his head. Because, when you play bad against a team, you're like, all you're thinking about is not doing that the next time. So, like, let's say you throw 2 picks and then you go out there, you throw a pick, you're like, damn it. Like, I spent all this time preparing to do this. I just did the same thing I did last time.
Yeah. You know? But I was watching the Oklahoma game last week and he was playing his ass off.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So the chances of you winning a game after throwing at least even one pick is slim to none.
Four picks and they still
end the game.
Probably should have won the game.
Yeah.
Probably should. Yeah, I know.
The first thing I seen was that PI that got him to like
where. Right. Yeah.
And I didn't personally think that was PI. And then I'm on my phone. I just look up. I just see somebody run into the sideline. I'm like, okay, someone scores there.
Right.
This dude jumped. I'm like, no, bro. Yo, that this is so close.
He jumped like laterally from the five and like try to twist his body.
The angle 42 took. I think that's what made him do that.
That's 42
took a good angle, and it's just kind of like, I think that's what he had to do. Like, that's all he could do in that situation.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I would have tried to plant and get upfield, like run through it.
Kyron would have scored.
Yeah.
Kyron would have scored.
1,000% would have scored that.
Well, Kyron scored on the first play.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, then again, Kyron would have scored. A lot of times other backs don't score.
Backs.
I feel like there were a lot of PIs this weekend. Or is that just me? Just
man, from watching the game?
I didn't watch it.
It was Bama. It was Bama, Bama Georgia. Game.
Yeah.
Oh, they were throwing it crazy. Really? Let's talk about that game a little bit. Bama, Georgia.
What about Saban?
It was crazy.
What did Saban do? I didn't watch too much football this weekend, disclosure. It's my birthday weekend, so I was with my girl.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, me and Kyle this morning, they're like interviewing all the head coaches of the playoff teams. And Saban hops on. He's just like got this grin on his face. Me and Kyle look at each other like, this dude does not lose, like, ever. You know, and it's, he, like, every time, it's like the Patriots.
Was this the interview when he was talking about the cap, the rat poisoning?
Yeah, that was
pretty cool. He's like, y'all fed us rat poisoning all season or all week or something like that. And it was pretty nasty. But this time, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, bro, this dude's a savage.
We were in my room just chilling, watching the interview. And we were like, now I'm looking at the screen with this little grin. And I'm like, this dude back again. Like they said, Nick Saban, congrats on Alabama being in the playoffs 7 times out of the 8 years the college football playoff has been a thing. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
He's goated, bro. He's goated.
Yeah, he's definitely goated. Michigan Iowa game. I actually went and drove down to Indianapolis to watch. My boy Chris Hinton left me and my friend from Atlanta some tickets. Shout out Brian Gonzalo. He left us some tickets to go watch the game. So me and Brian shot down to Indy to go watch. And that was a close one. That was a nail biter for sure.
I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Wait. What's the score at?
A 42-3.
Stop saying that, bro.
Me and Connor realistically probably stopped watching that game first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After they went up, like, I think it was like 21-3. I was like, all right, I'm cool off it.
It was bad.
14-3. I'm like, yeah. No, it was bad.
It was they had this one. I don't credit to Michigan's OC in the beginning of the game. He came in with some good gameplay. He had that one like quarterback pass. They threw it to like Edwards.
Yeah.
And he launched the ball like 50 yards at the running back. And it was like a dime ball. And I was like, all right, yeah, they
I was in the family section right there, right next to the end zone. And we were complaining about how like why do they put the families in the corner of the end zone? Like, we should be at the 50. But it's crazy because 5 touchdowns happened right in that corner of that end zone. We're like, oh, it was blessed. But yeah, no, they came out crazy that game. I don't know what they like their offensive game plan is, because it's like you got to have some sort of variety, but they were running. I told you, like, they ran like 4 plays the whole game. Mm. They were just switching back and forth, back and forth. They would boot on second down, they would run stretch, and then they would have some other pass play. And it's just like, no, it's easy to scheme.
I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful because they just play in the game like they're a good team. But from the get-go, I never thought that they had a chance to win that game.
Fair.
I was praying that they won that game.
Yeah.
The only shot we had left. A lot of Michigan, I have a lot of Michigan fan friends, and they're like mad that they're not one. I think they play Georgia first round.
Yeah, that's a good matchup, though.
I think it is. Yeah, I think they match up well with them.
I think they wanted to play Cincy first, and they thought they should be one. I don't know. I don't know if you'd watch the game, but you've watched Michigan.
I watched a lot of Michigan games,
I don't know. What, do you guys think they should have been one?
I think they're properly rated.
So Bama went from 4-1.
Bama went from 3-1.
3-1.
The committee says that they don't factor in rematches, like there being a rematch, but there's no way the committee would let Bama and Georgia play 2 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They probably want a Bama-Georgia national championship, and so that's why they're making a play of other teams. But that's just my 2 cents. I don't know.
I think Michigan can pull it out.
I think so, too.
Really, really good.
They are really good. They should be 13-0.
I wanted to play them. I wanted to play Michigan or Ohio State.
Yeah. Imagine a Michigan-Notre Dame playoff game.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy.
We were talking about this, KJ. They kind of play, not play calling, but like they have a similar style. Like they use two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They have like two or three good running backs. Their O-line is good. They use their tight ends heavily in their offense. And when we were watching them, we were looking at each other like, they kind of play like us.
Bosky, Hutchinson.
Yeah, like they have good players. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's interesting to see how we would have matched up against them.
That's facts. That'd be a very, very even match game. Damn. I want to play them too. I want to play them or Ohio State for real.
Yeah, I thought that we were going to play Ohio State and Atlanta for today.
They have to play in the Rose Bowl. It's like Big Ten Pac-12 Rose Bowl when it's not a playoff game.
Yeah.
So they're playing Utah in the Rose Bowl.
I wish they would change that so we could have a better chance of playing in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the Pac-12 hasn't had a team in the playoff in 6 years.
For real?
Yeah.
Oregon?
Oregon was the last one.
That's crazy. I was just thinking that the other day. Texas A&M beat Bama.
I know. There's a...
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's a head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish, not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
To be honest, like, Bama should have been 12-0. They should have beat A&M. Mm. Michigan should have beat Michigan State. They're up like 14, right? Because this is the most like uncertain playoffs been in a while, I feel like. And like, it really all came down this weekend.
Up until this point, though, I think everybody thought that Georgia was like that. And I mean, I'm not saying they're not like that, but they're not superhuman.
Yeah, people thought they were like untouchable. Yeah,
untouchable.
I saw somebody tweet, if you still say that defense wins championships, you're lying to yourself. Do you guys agree with that?
That defense wins championships? 100%.
It's still going to win championships every time.
They were talking about like the Bama-Georgia game, how Bama-Georgia's defense was this good, Bama's offense was this good. And so they're like, if you can't score anymore, you're not going to win games. Because Georgia's offense, like, they're good, but they're not like Bama's offense.
I think you need a superstar quarterback to win the playoff in this era.
I believe that.
That could be.
I believe that.
And Bryce Young played out of his mind against Georgia.
He did.
4 touchdowns?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 461 yards. Shout out to Volume. Volume.
Yeah, folks. Shout out to Volume, bro.
Coworker.
Coworker for real?
Yeah.
That's Golly. Weird, bro.
That's kind of weird.
Do you suffer from Zoom fatigue? With so many meetings each day, who can remember the key takeaways? Try Otter.ai to capture automatic live notes for meetings, interviews, or lectures. You can search the meeting notes, highlight action items, share the notes with your coworkers, and also play back the audio. Can't join a meeting? No worries. Send your Otter assistant to capture the notes for you. Otter.ai works for in-person and virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Get started for free at Otter.ai or download in the app stores. That's Otter.ai.
How do you prepare your kids today to succeed in tomorrow's world? Meet Junie. Junie is an online learning experience equipping the next generation of students to solve the world's largest problems. Best known for their STEAM courses like coding, investing, and novel writing, Junie is starting off the new year right by adding even more great courses. All new robotics, crypto, app development, 3D design, and more. So many options for kids 7 to 18, and with varying types of learning formats and project-based curriculum, your student will be ready to take on the real world. See for yourself why Junie is trusted by thousands of parents and loved by kids. Go to junilearning.com and take advantage of a special invite to kick off the new year. Enter promo code IHEART30 at checkout for 30% off. That's junilearning.com and promo code IHEART30 for 30% off all the great courses Junie has to offer.
Millions of Americans are getting back to work. CareerBuilder calls it the great rehire. And we want to help you get the best jobs before everyone else. CareerBuilder gives you the competitive edge to get the job you want, at the salary you want, with the benefits you want. We even send job alerts, so your perfect job lands right in your inbox. Go to CareerBuilder.com today, or get left with whatever jobs are left. Find your next job fast at CareerBuilder.com.
Yeah, so we're going to do this thing where we rate, rather than not, we think the top 11 teams that's in the college football playoff rankings are underrated or overrated. Ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bama.
Barely rated.
Yeah, that's a good rating.
I thought they were underrated until last week. And now I think they're fairly rated because people are underrated. Yeah.
Michigan.
Got it correct. I think correctly rated.
I'm going to say under. And I'm going to just say under because I understand what Bama did, but going off their season, what they just did in the championship, I think they should be number one.
I say underrated. Just watching them play in person, they look really good in person.
I agree. I think underrated. I think their loss to Michigan State outweighs Bama's loss to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Even though Bama's playing really good, I still think just resume-wise, it looks better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Georgia.
I think Georgia's overrated. You look at their schedule in terms of like what was their best games against Arkansas before the Bama game, and they didn't play great, and obviously they didn't play great against Bama, so I think that they're overrated.
I'm going to say it's a fair rating. I don't really have too much to say on Georgia, honestly.
I would say they're fairly rated just because their defense has been good all year. I mean, they had a bad game, but I mean, they were giving up 6 points a game the whole year, 6.9 points a game. Like, that's nuts. That's unheard of.
Yeah. I agree. Fairly rated. Cincinnati at 4.
Cincinnati's, come on, bro.
I think Cincinnati's overrated, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Hell overrated.
I'm going to say they're overrated. I mean, I do. We all do have bias, but I, in a non-biased way, I think they're overrated.
I agree, overrated. But I will say, just thinking about it, with the teams, with the games that went on this weekend, there's no way that they could put us in four.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't just make sense.
No, that would be anarchy. Fair.
But yeah, make I do sense. Believe that they're overrated a little bit. Ohio State at six?
I think it's correct rating. I think so. I think offense is really good. And they would beat Baylor.
I would say, I mean, if there was a way that we could move up as well, I would say underrated.
I was thinking that because, I mean, everybody in this room thinks Ohio State beats Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so it's like the committee's not picking the best four teams. They're picking the four politically correct teams to put in. And it, I don't know, it's a sliding scale on what you like say is best four teams. But I would say they're underrated. They're like, I think they're top five team in the country.
Agree. I think they're underrated. Baylor at seven.
Played well against Oklahoma State, but I'm thinking about now, the guy had four picks and they almost lost the game.
Yeah.
I think Baylor might be slightly overrated, but they were out down the quarterback. I was leaning towards overrated.
I might say overrated. I feel like with Oklahoma State, the way the end of that game kind of went and the fact that they did get so many turnovers on defense and still was that close in score, I feel like they're overrated.
Oklahoma State pretty much spotted them 21 points and threw four picks and still almost probably should have won the game. I mean, they got stopped at the goal line like three times, but I don't know. It's always weird to judge Big 12 teams.
I feel like I don't know anything about Big 12 football. Bro.
Yeah.
See, I'm not even going to rate them. I don't know much about them, but this seems like they're overrated.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Okay. Ole Miss at eight.
I think they're underrated. I think, how many SEC teams are in the top eight?
Three.
Yeah. I think they're probably the fourth best SEC team. I think that's fair.
No, they're the third best SEC team right now.
They are the third.
Yeah.
In the date. So that, yeah, I think that they.
If we can move Baylor out, yeah, I would say they're underrated. But I just feel like, I don't really know what this means too much, but just being in SEC West and being able to go 11-2 or 10-2. Yeah. I mean, that's solid, I feel like.
I'm going to say underrated because I think I mess with Kiffin so much. I mean, I don't know him, but I feel like he's such a cool dude. Mm-hmm. I feel like they really mess with him. So, and they got good players. Obviously, quarterback's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd take that back. Fairly rated, but I mess with Coach Kiffin.
I'd say underrated. I think Matt, I don't even know, Matt Corral.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he'll be good in the NFL. So, Oklahoma State at nine.
I'm going to say
Michigan State behind them at 10.
Michigan State and Utah behind them at 10 and 11.
I think that Michigan State and Utah are both overrated. So I think Oklahoma State is correctly rated using that.
Oklahoma State, I'm going to say they're overrated. I'm going to just say that because I don't know who they played this year, really. I mean, I understand they're Big 12, but I mean, they beat Oklahoma, but I don't really know. I'm going to just say overrated because you got to play them.
Kind of like we were saying, I would say fairly rated because, I mean, I've seen them look really good like against Oklahoma and I've seen them look bad against Baylor. So, I mean, we've had bad games too, so you don't really know. You come out any day and get beat, but.
Only thing for me is the Utah ranking because I feel like Utah should be kind of.
Utah's
like
good.
Like Utah's pushing.
I think Utah's good. Me. That's why I said, when you said they're overrated. I think they're good.
I think they're smooth, yeah.
They beat a
their defense is really
subpar
good.
Oregon team twice. Yeah.
But Oregon beat Ohio State at Ohio State. How does that happen?
Michigan,
you can lose on
Michigan
any day.
State beat Michigan. I mean, then got mollywopped by Ohio State. Yeah. Michigan ended up beating.
A lot of weird things going on. Too many weird things going on.
I think Oklahoma State is fairly rated, just from what I've seen, probably the 10 minutes that I've watched them.
Yeah.
I think they're fairly rated. Michigan State at 10. I think that's kind of underrated.
I think they're really good.
I think they just had a bad day.
I think they're kind of like in the Iowa-ish because I'm saying because they started off hot and then kind of faded towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like they were both in the top three at one point and then
forgot about that. Iowa was in the top three.
Yeah. And then just faded as the season went on. But
Iowa was the number two team at one point.
For real?
The week we played Wisconsin. Yeah, they were number two.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I don't believe Iowa should have ever.
Who did they beat to get up there, though?
Been higher than 15.
I don't have no clue.
They weren't just playing the games and getting up there.
Maybe
like
at Penn State when Penn State was like top 10. After Penn State beat Wisconsin, they beat Penn State.
You're right.
And then Utah 11. I think they're underrated.
Yeah, I think Utah's underrated.
I think they're underrated.
I think they're overrated. I think they're overrated. So I think that the teams that follow them, like
bottom middle,
and all them.
Y'all want to do this really quick? Go through a few bowl games. Give me your picks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Let's do that. All right, Bama, Cincinnati,
Bama,
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 Bama, yeah. Bama. Michigan, Georgia,
Michigan,
Michigan. Yup,
Georgia,
Georgia.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Our
family. Michigan State, Pitt. Let's talk about Kenny Pickett's fake slides for a little bit. I thought it was a dope play. I think that's on the defense.
I think that should be completely illegal.
What?
Because if you think about it, when you're in the game and you see a quarterback that's preparing to slide, whether you not want to admit it or not, you kind of pull up a little bit.
Nah.
You don't want to, because he's going down. You're still on your feet. You're going to hit him in the head somehow.
Somehow.
So that's what I think. When I see a quarterback preparing to slide, I'm like, okay, he's going to slide. Let me just get up off him. But he fake slide, and then people are slowing down, and then he just accelerates.
Did you see 40?
Yeah,
they see him. Yeah, number 45's reaction. He just stood there, and he was like, "Oh,
I don't know why." I disagree. Go tackle him. He's not on the ground yet. He's not like sliding. I mean,
that's already waiting to happen.
I don't think it is. I disagree.
His knee was like 4 inches on the ground. Like, he was so close, and he stood up.
It's because they held up 5 yards earlier. If you just run through him, if you
touch the quarterback nowadays, like, you get a penalty.
I mean, he's a runner at that point. He's not a quarterback anymore.
He's trying to slide.
Is he though?
He's giving himself.
I think it's cool what he did. That's something I've never seen before, but I think it should be completely illegal.
I want to know whose film he watched and how he came up with that.
Michael Vick had a fake slide.
He like spun too.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be a penalty. That's OD. Because then you can be like, that kind of looks like a fake slide.
I think it should be marked down.
But then how do you decide what if somebody just like looks like that when they are running and he's like, oh, he's fake sliding. He's like,
that's
no,
like
I was
completely
not.
Unnatural to do. Like his shin was damn near on the ground.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's another thing defense has got to deal with.
The defense.
How's the quarterback world, bro?
How's that any different from being on the sideline and you're like, oh, they're about to go out of bounds and you hit them? Like, you could like fake out of bounds and come back in. That's a down.
But you
right
got
there.
People chasing you from behind.
Yeah, it's different.
I don't think that's the same, bro.
It's got to be the same.
No, bro.
Because you pull. What if you pull up when you're about to go hit somebody on the sideline? They just keep running.
See,
up
I
the
don't
sideline.
Pull up when somebody's approaching the sideline because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to hit them right before they get in the sideline. I pull up on a quarterback because one, the first thing that comes to mind is a fucking quarterback, and if I hit him in the head, that can be really bad for me because the referees want to protect quarterback.
I disagree.
I think it's like a.
It's fine. That's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. Nice.
Either way, it was a dope move.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
he slid after cool. it, so he took off.
You think he
and slid? Yeah.
You think he planned it?
No, I think that was completely like instinctual.
I think he planned it.
I think he watched.
You can't plan
Vic
that.
Do it.
Yeah,
and he was like, all right,
that's
I might think
so
about
hard
this.
To plan. Like, I'm gonna fake slide this game.
Think he was in his hotel room practicing. shin.
Yeah, I'll show you his fake slide.
Pitt is my answer to that question, by the way.
Yeah, Pitt.
Well, who are they playing?
Who are they playing?
Wake Forest?
Pitt, Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State.
Just play Wake Forest.
But I want to see like a shootout, though. I want to see Michigan State put up points, and I want to see Pickett do his thing, too. Yeah. So that's what I want to see.
I say Pitt. Notre Dame, Oklahoma State. Who you got?
Oh, that's crazy.
Damn.
Notre Dame's got ass, though.
Yeah.
Bro, what?
Notre Dame loses all the big games.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Damn.
They too worried about getting PS5s.
Coach left.
And they got these dudes in, like, they got a podcast. They're so unlocked.
Notre Dame by 900
million. Notre Dame by
3 billion.
Need them.
With the PS5.
Lock that.
Winner keeps the PS5.
I have my gamer tag afterwards, too.
Ohio State, Utah.
Ohio State?
Ohio State by a wide margin.
Yeah. Well, I would say why, but yeah. Ohio State. I'm trying to see that.
I got Ohio State. Ole Miss, Baylor.
Ole Miss. Matty Ice, baby.
Ole Miss.
I want to see 80 points scored in that game.
Go Rebs. Yeah. All right. Some other games. Not as high value games. No offense.
Wait, say the bowl name, though.
All right. We got the Texas Bowl in Houston. Kansas State, LSU.
Family.
Damn, bro.
LSU.
I got LSU.
LSU.
LSU. I don't want to say it, but LSU.
Why?
None.
Wait, the Texas Bowl. Keep it going.
Texas Bowl is in Texas. Surprisingly, Connor. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it's.
Oh, Houston. Houston's a city, right?
Citrus Bowl, Iowa versus Kentucky. I got Kentucky.
I'm Kentucky.
Sorry. I just saw Iowa in person. It did not look that great.
All right, Kentucky.
We're OD right now. Yeah, I'm going to say Kentucky.
Kentucky has Will Canton at quarterback as well.
Will Canton.
So.
I see him when he hurdled, and I was so smooth.
Outback Bowl, Penn State versus Arkansas.
Outback, great
Penn
food.
State. I got Arkansas.
Let me get Penn State. I think they're dudes. Their DBs State. Are good. Tony the Tiger Bowl in El Paso, Texas. Miami versus Washington State.
Do you think they bowl get fish?
Probably a bowl of cereal.
That's live.
Frosted flakes
are good.
Yeah, Washington State.
Let me get Miami with Crystal Ball. I like it.
I got Washington State.
Miami.
All right. The Arizona Bowl. Central Michigan versus Boise State. Oh, this is the Barstool Bowl.
This is the Barstool one, right?
Yeah.
They're putting on a bowl?
Yeah, they have a bowl game.
Oh, that's about to be so unlocked.
That's about to be unlocked. What's their bowl game about to be?
I don't even want to say that.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know.
Not
that.
PG.
It can't be.
I'm going to go Boise State.
Central Michigan. I just said that because you said Boise State. I don't have no
see,
idea.
I'm going to say Boise State. And I really want to see that game because I want to hear, is Big Cat, you think Big Cat going to be announcing?
That would be live. They have PFT and Big Cat.
Probably.
Oh, hell. I might have to tap in.
Boy, no, I'm out of tune.
What day they play that one?
You say Boise.
The same day as our game. After our game. The Tax Slayer Bowl. Wake Forest versus A&M. Wake Forest.
Ooh,
Wake Forest, yeah.
Las Vegas Bowl. Surprisingly, in Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wisconsin
versus Arizona State.
You give me Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
I'm going to go with the Sun Devils.
This kid hates the Big Ten. I'm convinced you hate the Big Ten.
Oh, I already picked up on that.
I got Wisconsin. Music City Bowl, Purdue versus Tennessee.
Purdue.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
I'm going to go with the Vols.
I'm going to go with Purdue. I think David Bell's really good. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, North Carolina versus South Carolina, both 6-6.
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina.
North, yeah.
We go South Carolina. Shout out, Reese. The Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma versus Oregon. Ooh, that's going to be a good game, I think. Actually, I take that back.
Curious to see who plays in that game.
You take that? I think that's going to be a good game.
I got Oregon.
Oklahoma
doesn't have a head coach right now.
And oh, they just did. They hired, just hired.
Yeah, but they lost their two top receivers.
Venables.
Clemson. He finally left Clemson.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I might go with Oklahoma. He's a good coach.
Old new
in 3 weeks?
Scheme.
No, I'm saying just from what I know about him, he's a good coach. I don't know what they're going to do, but
I'm excited.
People could say that about us.
I was just thinking that. I think it's going to be smooth, though. $900 million, like I said. Lock you.
Who you got this weekend? Army, Navy. We can end on this.
Navy.
Yeah, Navy.
I'm going to go Navy, yeah.
Could go Army.
I'm going to go Army. They scored like 50-something against
Isn't
Wake.
Isn't Army like actually on?
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Justin Walters' brother.
The Navy went neck to neck with Dincy.
Yeah.
The top 14.
That's
always a fun game.
That's going to be a quick one.
I know, a quick one.
That's going to be an hour.
That would be dope to play in that game, I feel like.
Their uniforms are always really cool.
Yeah.
They do bring us some nice uniforms.
President goes to the game every time.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
It's funny playing those teams because you're
Joe Barry.
Like, should we boo them? Like,
yeah. You just don't know if you can talk trash. Like, about to go serve.
One more good one.
Who's
playing in the Bahamas Bowl this year?
Bahama Breeze.
The Bahamas Bowl on December 17th in exactly 12 days. Middle Tennessee, my mom's alma mater, and Toledo.
Let's go Toledo.
Toledo by 75.
I'm going to go MTSU. It's my mom's school. Can't go against them. Shout out Murfreesboro. Shout out Red Blue Raiders.
I believe Toledo is a top 4 team in reality. You know, I think they should. It should be
Toledo?
Toledo, Baylor.
Snub. No, dead ass though. They were really good when we played them. Let's just go back to them.
No, they are.
For a second. For a little second. We'll wrap it up there. If you guys missed the beginning of this episode, I don't know why you would, but if you're still listening at this point,
people skip to the middle of the episode. Yeah.
We're attaching this to an old podcast that we did with defensive end, Isaiah Foskey. Shout out to the If Factor. So he will be following us up right now. Today we have a very special, very, very special guest. We have the If Factor in the garage today.
The key.
Isaiah Foskey, junior DN. Isaiah, introduce yourself.
I'm Isaiah Foskey, played football for Notre Dame. Got the
nice.
Little...
Nice, bro, nice.
Got a little, what you said, a little If Factor going on. You know, everyone got that little If Factor.
Appreciate you coming. I know you have a very, very busy schedule here. Very busy man these days. Very industrial man these days.
Avenues, businesses.
A lot of business activities going on. But no, I appreciate you coming on, man. How you doing? How's your day?
Been good. I'm just chilling. Whole day just been chilling.
Yeah.
After the game, just been chilling.
Facts. We need that. So just trying to introduce you a little more to the people. Zay, you're from Cali, correct?
Yep. Bay Area.
Shout out to
Bay Area.
So obviously you're far away from home right now. What made you want to come here? Come all the way to Indiana?
I don't know. I was gonna think about going to Stanford just because, you know, yeah.
That was the best decision I made not to go to Stanford, well, to be honest.
You would have lost this weekend, bro.
Great. Looking at the stadium after, like during the game, looking at the stadium, there's like no one there. And just compared to Notre Dame, like that was like the best decision I made going to Notre Dame. Basically, same thing with academics and football. Well, it's not the same thing with football, but just like the football just being top tier, academics being top tier, just the best of both worlds. That's like the main reason I came here. And it was just like my high school, De La Salle, being a Catholic school. Even though I'm not Catholic, but I just like the Catholic tradition. It was just like exactly the same thing as De La Salle, just like on higher caliber.
Right. For those who don't know, Zay went to De La Salle, which is like one of the most successful, most historic programs in the country. I remember in eighth grade, our team for like a team bonding thing went to go see the De La Salle like movie. It's crazy.
There's a movie?
Yeah, there's
a football team.
The game stands tall.
They won 100 something games in a row.
How long ago?
I think it ended 2003.
Oh, so this isn't too long ago.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. Who's your rival out there?
I really don't think we have like a rival. Except like Clayton Valley, I guess like a rival. Pittsburgh is a rival. But like, our rivalry is just going to state championship, going to play modern day. Like,
Dang.
Every team that in the Bay Area we won against ever since we started playing them. And we just lost it this year.
Bro.
Ever since Dale Saab been playing.
Dang, that's crazy.
Been playing football, we've been winning until we would go to state and lose.
But how are y'all such a powerhouse like that?
I have no idea.
It's a triple option. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a triple option.
Yeah. It's just like discipline. Like, we just have regular people, regular old linemen just playing regular quarterback, regular receivers. Not like big time names coming out to school. Well, there's just some, but not every year there's big time names. It's just people just basically committed to the process and committed to the grind every single day.
Sounds familiar.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Just like De La Salle, though. Just like Notre Dame.
Not saying we got like regular people on the team, but like just the whole culture around the team. Yeah. Like, we obviously have very talented people, but like you were saying, it's like a mini Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's just like regular people just playing football.
Yeah. Let's go around and say what your first impression of Zay was. I can start because I met Zay when he was still uncommitted, air quotes, uncommitted, at the All-American game. And Coach Joseph, who was the safety coach at the time, recruited me. It was like, hey, try to talk to Isaiah Foskey while you're down there in San Antonio. Like, try to get him to come to Notre Dame. So we go to like this Dave and Buster's type place. And like, he's shooting on the little papa shot. I go to him like, what's up, Zay? I'm Kyle. Committed to Notre Dame. Like, I really want you to come with me. Like, I'll be lit. Like, he's like kind of blowing me off. He's like, yeah, that's cool or whatever. I'm set up and decided. I'm like, all right, bet. Like, come to find out, I found this out like a few months ago. Like, he was committed at the time.
he was slagging, bro. He was like, I don't know why I did that. I should have just told you I'm committed.
Bro, he was trying to lie.
I signed in January, so I was already committed. I was already coming to Notre Dame. I just announced it in February.
Yeah, so I'm out here trying to get him to come. I'm just wasting my time. You're already committed.
But that whole high school committing thing is so like, it seems so secretive for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, even me, I was committed for a while, but didn't tell anybody. I just felt like no one should know. But
It wouldn't make a difference. The same way, So it was Stanford and where else? Where else were you thinking about going other than Indy?
Washington.
Yeah, you made the right choice.
I just like Seattle. I like being, you know, I'm a Bay Area boy. I like being in around the Bay, and that's what they're like actually in Seattle. That was just nice.
I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know that either.
AJ?
My first impression of Zay, had to be when we got like move-in day, coming to college, and like I'm like, all right, yeah, I understand like how big O-line, D-line people are, and you know, you see, you hear everybody's like measurements and stuff where you come in. It's like how you like you know people's names and measurements and positions. That's all you know. So move-in day, I'm coming through. Not, I don't even know if you remember this, but I'm walking through like with my stuff, and then like you're like backing up out of the door, and it's just, you got like a bunch of stuff in your hand, and it's just like what was it? How big is he right now? Like, but
got the idea. I met a hell of people in the elevator. I was just meeting people left and right, but I didn't even know a lot of people. Only person I knew and like only met once was Zay, he's from California.
Shout out Zay Rutherford.
Y'all think Zay listen to this?
No.
Hell no.
And if you do it, he's about to clown it.
Yeah.
Y'all hella dumb.
So Zay Rutherford was one of our boys, one of our really good friends. He transferred last year to Arizona.
In the summer, moving into Knott. Were you Howard? You guys were right across from me and Zane. And so, like, I saw you guys a good amount just because, like, we would pass by all the time. And pretty sure, like, we all met the first day. And I don't know, my first impression was similar to KJ. I was like, damn, this dude's, like, a big dude, right? Bigger than the guys I played with in my high school and whatever. I don't know, similar to me. You were kind of quiet at first. And like, Howie and them, I remember you guys would play Xbox, all that stuff all the time. And then we got to, like, the weight room and all, like, the first events and everything, not events, with like the workouts and stuff. And like, yeah, this dude, he's pretty legit right now. So
I don't have an elaborate story, honestly. I just thought you were shy.
Honestly, yeah, I was hella quiet.
A whole year, I thought you were like shy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. That's probably all I got to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just very soft spoken and didn't say much. This worked out.
He was locked in.
I guess. I was unlocked.
I want to touch on this a little bit, but the whole NIL stuff you got going on. For those who don't know, Zay has his own lot of merch. You got your own Instagram page, social media stuff. We can link it to the post or whatever, and we can send some people your way. But talk about that a little bit.
You know, it's a little it factor going on. I always say, like, everyone got that it factor. It's just a little motivation, little thing that, like, pushes you that you can do better. I just call it that it factor. That's why I have the it factor. But it's something that everyone can have. And I don't know. All I have right now is just shirts. You know, a lot of people like those hats. So I've been getting a lot more hats. It's sold out right now. But, you know, I'll be getting some more.
Okay.
You know,
on the
a lot of shirts, hats. You know, you're coming out with some beanies, jackets, sweatshirts, you know, some more merch.
I like the dad hats.
I like the whole play on your name because the if, the IF, Isaiah Foskey, yeah, obviously, and then the key at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's kind of dope.
You were meant for this, bro.
This. All lined up, all worked out.
So go check out It Factor. We'll link the website and his social media in the post. But speaking of the Bay, boys went out to the Bay, got a quick dub, had a short flight back, all that stuff. Y'all touch on just how exhausting, because y'all said it was pretty exhausting being out there Thursday after acclimate.
I'm still feeling it.
To the time change and all that. So what was that like?
I was so tired coming, not even coming back after the game. During the game, I was drinking hella coffee. Like, I drank it before the game and the halftime. Drank hella coffee. After the game, I'm like wide awake, my eyes wide open on the plane. Couldn't even take a nap. I'm watched two movies. Got back, stayed up another hour laying in bed. Just watching TikTok.
Yeah. What time did you go to sleep?
Probably like 7:30.
That's crazy.
And I woke up at like 2 o'clock, only had like 5 hours, something like that.
I was
just dead.
Like after a game, because I drink coffee during the game too. Yeah. And after the game, I just always get this weird feeling because I'm like, all right, we're about to take a 5 hour plane ride. I need to go to sleep. But I had like this weird feeling while I was awake. So I watched Narnia, tried to go to sleep. Tried to go to sleep, couldn't go to sleep. So we get back here and I was up for like another 2-3 hours. I was up until the sun was up. And then I slept at 12.
That's probably the most sickening part about everything. You just get home. What we got? We got home at like 7.
Yeah.
It was around 7. To our house, got car, everything. Got to the house at like 7. And then I'm like, I got to go take a shower at least. So I'm going to take a shower, get up to shower. I see the sun. I'm like, damn.
And you didn't go to sleep.
I didn't even go to sleep. I mean, I probably slept like 2 hours. I just have a hard time. I don't know. It's 7. I'm like, I might as well just start my day. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if we should go out Thursday because I know we always do, but I was like, how much can that time change affect? I was like, that can't affect me like that much. And then we got there I remember the first night we were sleeping. I thought I was sleeping for like a long time. The first night in the hotel, I kept looking at the clock. It was like 6 a.m. I'm like, all right. Like, like my body felt like it was like 9 or 10.
Yeah, right? Alarm clock went off.
Yeah, our alarm clock went off at 6 a.m. So I thought like we missed like wake up call. I was like, great. And then we got back here, the same thing. You guys were 7 and like all of our rooms are so bright when the sun's out. And I was like, I can't even try to go to sleep. I was on my phone watching TikTok, like you flashing. Yeah. I was like, I can't. I slept for probably... I took like a 4-hour nap in the middle of the day, I guess. You didn't even call it like sleeping.
Yeah. And while we were there, it just felt like a week-long trip. Like stuck in our
hotel rooms.
Stuck in our hotel rooms. Like we had meetings, obviously, dinner and all that stuff, but we had like 10 plus hours of downtime. Yeah. We were just sitting in our rooms looking at each other. And it was just like felt like prison kind
of. It's like when we're usually at like a bowl game or like when we're there for an extended period of time. You can leave the hotel, right? Like there's different events to do.
Yeah.
That time you just like couldn't, you stuck there. And I was like, this is not great.
Miserable. Yeah. That sucks. It was your first time traveling.
First time traveling.
How was the experience though?
Hey, at least your roommate was good though.
It was a good
ass roommate.
Yeah. He must have been cool. Yeah, it was me and KJ. It was fun. I mean, like we went to a warm weather place. So that was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, not hot, but it was definitely warmer than here. I mean, it was cool to see Stanford. The campus is pretty cool, even minus the football team in the stadium and being not crowded. It was a cool experience and being with the guys, and obviously got a good roommate in KJ. It was fun.
The stadium's like, I think it's cool how it's set up. Like, it's like a cathedral, I feel like. Like, all the trees up top, like, it looks really cool. Like, you're in like a big
stadium.
Like,
cool. I liked it.
Yeah, it's just empty.
I've never seen empty Stanford campus or stadium in it. When I got there, it looked exactly like how I pictured
it. Was
like a real pristine, like preppy, like clean, like school.
Yeah. You think that's not Notre Dame?
No.
No?
No, not like pristine and clean and everything. I think Notre Dame has a little bit of like ruggedness to it.
A little blue collar.
A little grind to it. Yeah. I think it's just because it's in Indiana.
I was going to say
the weather messes up a little bit.
Dudes would be a lot more bougie if it was hot outside.
Oh, yeah.
How did you all 100%. Feel? I don't know about y'all, but when I felt the sun, like the Cali sun, I was like, damn, this girl I've been missing. And I felt like instantly my whole mood just changed. Like I walked outside and I felt the sun. I'm like, this is good. Like, I'm a short sleeve shirt. Like, it's crazy what the sun can do.
That was my first time in California. I'm like, again, California was exactly what I pictured it.
But that was your first time?
That's why I was talking trash to you. I was telling Zay, like, California's garbage, bro.
The whole time.
Need to come to Baltimore, really? Nah, that's beautiful, bro.
That's crazy.
I love the sun, man. For you, Foskey, like, being in the sun all the time in California, what KJ just said, like, it does change your mood. How was, like, your first winter here? Like, you don't look, because, like, from December to February, you don't really see the sun that often, you know?
I didn't even notice it, like, with the sun, like, not being here in South Bend, but the first winter when the snow first fell, I have a funny story. When every time the first snowfall comes and, you know, everyone goes into the
big quad.
Everyone, bro.
Oh, you talking about the snowball fight?
No, I didn't break. I didn't break my tooth. That was something else.
Gotcha.
But it's like that big snowball fight. I'm throwing snowballs, having hella fun, throwing them everywhere. I pick up one, look up, and just a snowball hit me in my face. Start bleeding, my nose bleeding. I just walked straight to my door.
I remember I walked past and I said,
I was so pissed.
That was probably one of the most fun on-campus things that I've done. Like,
I was looking forward to it.
Snowball fight.
Until I got hit. Once I got hit, I just...
Fun, 300 people on a quad just throwing snowballs at each other.
That was
hard as hard as they can, too.
So, moving on to the game, the Bama game was being shown during the warm-ups. So, y'all want to talk about that a little bit?
That was crazy.
I kind of thought it was like a home field advantage tactic, kind of, because... Yeah. For starters, I didn't even think Alabama would come close to losing.
Right. Yeah.
But we needed Alabama to lose as they're going into overtime. So we're warming up during our FSA. And on both jumbo screens is the Alabama game, and all the Notre Dame fans is cheering for Alabama to lose. Stanford is chilling for them to win.
It wasn't even highlights. It was the actual
game. Yeah, Comcast game. I've never seen that before. And I'm like, bro, I was unlocked for a little bit.
It like added to the whole thing. Like, the stadium was empty. The game was on. I was like, it doesn't feel like we're warming up for a game
at all, bro. And even before the game, like, vibes were, it was kind of weird. Like, I think, not to be in a disrespectful way, but I think everybody had the feeling that we were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So it was low stress levels. And then when we walked in, we're warming up, there's little to no fans, so didn't feel like a normal game day experience.
Yeah.
And then we're warming up while we're watching.
And we had been there, so we had been there for so long. Everybody's like, bro, can we just get this win and get up out of here?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It's dope to see, though. I feel like everybody, obviously I didn't play, but I feel like everybody seemed like they're in good spirits during the game, like seemed pretty lax.
Sure.
And like, not lax, but it's just like not freaking out at all. And like, just everybody was out there having fun. The Twins played really well. It's dope to see.
Yeah.
Kev played really well. Mike Mayer obviously played really well. Shout out Mike, man. He set a record, most receptions in the season for a tight end.
That's dope. Yeah. Like 67 or 69?
64. Yeah. That's still crazy, though.
Yeah,
we have another game or two. And
Got to get the daily Kyron shout out.
Yeah.
1,000 yards.
Yeah, shout out Kyron. Back to back. 1,000 yard seasons. That's dope. People forget Kyron didn't even play his freshman year either.
Yeah.
Like, he could be like, if he played his freshman year, he would have all the records on lock.
Unlocked.
I think he has 1,300 all purpose and like 17 touchdowns. So,
yeah, that's nuts.
I don't know why.
This season?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I don't understand how he's not top. I mean, he is. I think he's the best running back in college football. I don't understand that award. Whatever. Should be the Heisman. Just saying.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. How'd you feel when you got your 16th sack? Or how many sacks do you have?
10.
Just 10.
Oh, no, 16? Career. How many do you have in your career? Wait, didn't you just break a record, bro?
No. Yeah, you did.
Pretty sure you did.
For single season sacks.
Like 10's got to be a record.
It's single season sacks. It's like you and Justin Tuck or something like that. Is that 10? So no pressure on the next game.
It's not.
Oh.
I must have just tied it.
Oh, you're tied for the record.
Yeah, you're tied.
You're tied okay.
Hey, everyone's just been talking about Stephon Tuitt's record at 13 and a half.
Oh, is that what he had?
Yeah. That's what everyone's been talking about. I probably,
Well, shoot.
I don't even know.
Nah,
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I really don't even worried about it.
I'd be seeing like 9 sacks, 10 sacks, 9.5. I really don't even know how many.
Just get 4 next game.
Facts.
Quick 4 sacks.
Quick 4.
Like a no for real.
Yeah.
What y'all think of that field, though?
Bad grass. Was grass.
Yeah, that was bad.
Bro, grass was probably like the worst grass I've played on since like Little League type-ish. Yeah. Like I remember one time we were in like a zone concept and I'm in the flat and the quarterback throws the curl on the hitch and I drop to it. And I'm running to make a tackle, and like
bro,
I saw that. And I looked to the sideline, and Coach Kelly's like, make the tackle. And I'm like, bro, I tried. I just couldn't get my footing, bro. It's like worst field that I've ever played.
Everybody was slipping that game.
Yeah,
I was watching the film, and everybody was just slipping.
Falling all over the place.
I also want to shout out the defense. Was that we led up 23 points in the month? Is that what it was?
Yeah like 106 like to 23 or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
100,
crazy.
100 to 14. Right?
Yeah.
Said that.
And it just goes to show you when you have one bad game to start off the season. Because I remember people were saying, like, fire Marcus Freeman after Florida State.
Oh, yeah. Florida State. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had seen right before we started this podcast, I was just on Twitter scrolling. People are still like criticizing that as if that's not a good accomplishment. And obviously, I'm not even worried about it. People are going to say whatever they got to say, but they're like, I'm not really happy about this. We got to be good all year round. We're 11-1.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Notre Dame tax.
So yes,
it is a cost of admissions type thing.
I mean, we're one of 9 teams out of the 133 that played Notre Dame to win 11 games.
And it's supposed to be a down year.
I don't know where the like this stigma came from, but around the country, this was Notre Dame's down year, I guess, because we lost so many people.
Notre Dame tags can't do nothing right, but it is what it is. You'll keep doing the wrong thing, I guess.
I think I'm going to start saying that. The Notre Dame tax, bro.
Notre Dame tax.
Just charge it to the game.
Charge it.
Speaking of, we can talk about Keyshawn Johnson's little snippet where he got really mad and like felt kind of heated about Notre Dame, the possibility of us being in the playoff. And he was like, I do not want to see Notre Dame's ass in the playoff or something like that. I'm like watching the video and I like tweeted at it. I was like, bro, like chill out. he's like really hot over this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's one of millions of people who think about Notre Dame like that. And I'm just like, why do people hate us so much? Like, I understand people hating like the Patriots because like they had Tom Brady and Belichick who are not the most liked people. And then the whole Deflategate thing and then all this stuff, people call them cheaters or whatever. But like, what have we done? We're the good Catholic school.
People hate us because we're independent. Like, join a conference. And it's like, our independent schedule is better than your conference schedule. Right.
Right.
Therefore, we have a better schedule than you. And
according to PFF, we had the 4th strongest schedule.
Exactly. And like, we still perform well. And everyone's like, we need to find a reason for them not to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
And that's a USC so grad. Weird, and I feel bad for him because he's never seen USC in the playoff because they fucking suck.
But, that's facts. That's facts, bro. And it just seemed like, I understand who went to USC and it's the USC Notre Dame thing, blah, blah, blah. But I was like strong hatred. Like,
yeah,
I don't even want to lay my eyes on the TV if Notre Dame's there. I'm like, sheesh, bro.
That's what we were talking about. Like, we need that. I wish I hated USC that much.
Facts. I don't even have that hatred, bro.
Doesn't that make you hate USC more? Is that what he said?
Nah, it just makes me like laugh at them. Like, y'all really hate. Like, when somebody's really hating on you like that, you're like, all right, bro. Like, you got to be jealous a little
like,
bit.
Like, I don't even hate, like, Stanford, USC, like, any other rivals. I just
treat it like, it's the same. It's another
same
game.
Week, bro. Yeah,
did USC recruit you pretty hard?
They everyone recruited me for tight end though.
Really? Oh yeah, yeah. You're pretty cold at tight end, huh?
And a little bit.
You couldn't imagine Fosse running a route, bro.
I could.
You could?
Yeah, I could.
Really? You think I'm stiff or something?
Did you not see your dance, bro?
No. I hesitate on that. That's why
you
I look
scared?
Like that.
You scared of the flag?
Yeah, kind
of. I feel you, bro. I feel you. I've been there, bro.
And plus, I saw no one behind me doing it, too. Mai said he was going to do it with me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, so that's why he did it real fast and went.
Mai just waited for his own moment to do it, bro.
Got him that touchdown. He did it.
Okay, you're a tight end. You're blocking yourself. Who do you get a sack?
Yes.
Yeah?
I couldn't block.
You couldn't block or you didn't want to block?
Yeah, it was like more like I didn't want to block. Like I just did not like blocking. At all.
You're a receiver guarding yourself. Who won it?
I think I was split, honestly.
Out of 10, 5.
Out of 10 reps? 5 and 5.
All right, you get 3 reps.
I'll give myself 2-1. DB.
DB?
Yeah.
Cam, how about you?
I think I'm going receiver.
Receiver?
I mean, I know all my weak spots on both sides, but I just feel like I know exactly what routes to run that would get me 3 catches.
Three catches. But I feel like DB self would win because I won a lot of my routes in high school on jump balls.
Mm.
And like I feel like I could compete with myself on jump balls.
Oh, facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So yeah, I was the opposite. I didn't do many jump balls.
Yeah. Because you don't have no balance. You know?
Cage?
But I got it. You get the...
What?
Oh, me?
I'll probably say receiver cage.
Just okay. Right off the routes. Well, I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but I just want to touch on 8th grade KJ because this dude was on a different level, bro. I remember we played KJ 8th grade football. Our schools played each other. It's a Saturday morning at like 10. It's freezing. And KJ comes out there. I'm like, bro, this dude is about to murder us. Like, I remember he touched the ball like 5 times, had 5 touchdowns, and he returned the onside kick for a touchdown.
That's why I wanted the game on Saturday. I was like, bro, please, I want them. You know how they kick that little pooch kick?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, please, I want them to do that so bad.
Oh, you slide?
I was sly. I know Pauline would hate me for that, but if they kicked one of those, like the onsides, I would try to slide.
This dude was like the best little league player played against, bro. I was like, I'm out there like 5'6", like 130. He coming out of there like 5'6"? Booming me. Yeah, bro, I was tiny, bro.
8th grade?
I was probably like 5'7", 5'5", I guess. Damn. Probably 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah. I had my growth spurt in 8th grade.
Yeah.
That's just always been tall.
For real?
For real?
Yeah.
Did you ever hoop?
Nah, I should have.
Bro, what are you doing?
You didn't hoop?
Never.
How's your high school's basketball team?
We were good when I was there. My freshman year. But you know, like the Ball Brothers.
Mm.
My freshman year, they're all, I forgot what school they went to.
In LA. No, Hills.
Chino Hills, yeah. So our freshman year, our team played them, I think, like in the semifinals, something like that.
Oh, no.
We got whooped, though, but like you're doing lobs to each other, dunking on them.
Damn.
But like, yeah, we were good enough to like go to the semifinals for Cali.
Shifting gears, what's the hardest part about playing DN, you think?
For starters, if I could pick any position,
I was
in the
just
world,
thinking that, bro.
I'm taking DN. So I'm just let you know that.
6'6", yeah. 6'6", stand up DN, bro. Yeah. Every time.
The hardest part, though, I don't even know. I feel like the hardest part just got to be pass rushing, just being consistent with that.
Right.
Everyone harps on it. Everybody wants to be like a good pass rusher. So, like, that's the main thing people focus on. So, I'll probably just say pass rushing, just trying to get the tackles' hands off of you, even though, like 6'8, 6'9 tackles and it hella big, 300. 10, right. 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. The Blake Fitches of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's hella big.
We've all shared our stories. What's your freshman, like, welcome to college story? Like, was it in camp? Was it during the season? Like, where you're like, all right, this is a different level of football.
Ooh.
Do you have a story or a moment that reminds you of that?
I forgot what game it was. It might have been Stanford. I was on kickoff return. Like, I backed up, tried to block. I tried to block him. He just booned me. I don't know who it was. He just booned me. And I was like, I'm still pretty big. I was 6'5", 250. But like, I'm trying to block somebody. And he just booed me. I went back on my head, hit the back of the...
Dang.
No, that's the worst. That's the worst one.
Did they return it, or was it just one of the run bys and he just wanted to boom you? Like, did we really
He just wanted
return?
To hit me. He fell too, but he just boomed me.
Boom.
He's just one of those guys. And during that same game, I was playing base downs, and I was trying to win the C gap. Got off the C gap. I wrapped up the running back. He's still driving his feet. He ran me over. You can see on the film, I do the splits. I'm laying on the ground. I hurt my hip. Jogging, limping off the field.
You know, what's going through your mind? Like, damn.
I was
this
like,
shit.
Damn. But that was the first time I actually got like ran over clean. He ran me over and kept running.
Oh, that's
it wasn't like I ran over and I grabbed on his legs or anything.
Did you get boomed in high school at all? Ever?
Nah, not in high school.
You never got boomed up until college?
Yeah. Probably youth, maybe. I don't know. No, youth football. I was playing running back.
Oh, hell no.
I always went to the sideline to start stiff-arming people.
You trained with Aaron Donald, right? I know he's at the end, but like, how was that?
That was dope. Like, just seeing him, he's like, not All America, but a Hall of Fame. He's going to be like in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right. Just have that back of your head. He just.
What was your biggest takeaway from that?
Just him watching film. Like, the biggest takeaway was just him watching film, like actually learning like the tackle that you're going against. And that's basically the biggest thing that I've put into this season, just watching film and watching the person I'm going against.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the biggest takeaway I took from him, and just like keeping your pass rush simple. You don't have to be exotic with everything, try to do different moves every game. Hone in on one, two, maybe three moves for that one person, some counters, and you'd be good. And that's what I've just been doing this whole season.
Well, that's dope.
Looks like it's working.
That's dope.
Yeah, that shit's working for sure.
Where, y'all were in Cali? Does he work out in Cali?
No, I went to Pittsburgh.
So
how'd that work out? Like, did he hit you up or something?
No, my dad was visiting my friend he's from the military in the Navy. He went to Navy.
Mm.
So he was visiting him in Pittsburgh, and I just went with him. The trainer knew Aaron Donald, and he was there at that time. So he just connected me. Since Kurt already knew him, he didn't come there though, but he just connected me since I worked out with him too.
Right.
So the next day, he just connected me with Aaron Donald, and then the rest is history. I just met him, and then now I'm just staying connected.
That's dope. You staying connected with him?
Yeah, I'm still staying connected with him, yeah.
That's good. That's dope.
Every now and then.
Do you have a pass rush move before the ball snap, or is it reactionary? Like, do you have an idea of what you're going to do?
I have an idea, but I don't even want to say I panic, but like,
you're like, oh, I can't do that no more.
Right when I get to the tackle, I just, like, whatever I had in my head, it just goes away. I just do whatever just comes.
I feel like that's the best way to do it.
Unless I'm going to like power. Like, if I'm trying to just bull rush somebody, I just run full speed, put my head underneath their chin, just bull rush.
Damn. That sounds healthy.
Damn.
I feel like that's kind of at our position. Like, when you're at the line of scrimmage thinking, all right, I'm going to jam it this way, and then goes away and you just become reactionary.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't have, because we're reacting off them. I feel like DN's more like trying to get their stuff off. Like, we go like jam, kick step, trail kick.
Yeah, I don't do that though. Like, if I'm impressed, I go up with the set like thing that I'm gonna do, obviously based off where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that shit just goes away. It ends up me soft pressing or quartering back or hard pressing.
Right.
I don't know.
As a receiver, you definitely kind of go into what you're thinking, depending on if you're playing soft press, maybe you're like closer playing hard press. And sometimes it's reactionary. It's like if you're going to jam, I wasn't expecting you to like reach across the line right away.
Mm.
Then you kind of have to change that.
Right. I feel like also as DBs, we have emergency like tactics. Like, if we get beat off the line and you're behind, like, I'm thinking like, all right, what release did he take? He's not going to release this far wide and come back inside.
Come back inside.
Help myself and try to cheat. But
I didn't think about that. Now we actually practice at Mercy, like out of phase.
I mean,
like that.
These dudes are good too, and like they're gonna beat you off the line sometimes. So you gotta have something, and shit goes bad. But
have something in your bag.
Gotta have something in your bag.
Gotta have a big
bag. Big bag. Big Birkin. Want to move on to some crazy stuff that's happening. Lincoln Riley going to USC. I think that's awesome. I think that's dope for us too, because, well, I mean, we're talking about, we want a rivalry that like we really hate those dudes, and I think he's the guy. He's perfect for them.
They're bringing that competitive spirit to
them. Yeah. And I feel like he's going to get a quarterback he really wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what happens from there. But I'm glad USC's going in the right direction so we can get the rivalry.
You think
he's
gonna change the program though?
Yeah,
I think he is.
Yeah, 100%. For sure.
I think he's gonna.
They're gonna give him the keys.
Yeah. USC has like some players already there.
Yeah.
You're in LA. You're surrounded by great tradition, and then Lincoln Riley himself is known for what he does. You just put those two together. You don't even have to work to recruit. Yeah. Players. No. That's just attractive in itself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be surprised if the people that decommitted from Oklahoma I'm saying if they just go to USC now.
Yeah, fact.
At this point, yeah.
There's already like three dudes that decommitted from Oklahoma today.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about going to USC. But if you're a quarterback and he's recruiting you, he'd be like, look, you want to win a Heisman and be the number one pick? All right, be my quarterback. And
his
like,
resume that crazy.
Like, yeah, I want to do that.
Crazy.
On the flip side, I also think it's kind of weird, though, because when I was a recruit, one of the things I wanted to do was make sure that I didn't follow a coach or go to a school for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then who said that he's going to be at USC for a solid 4 years? You know what I mean? So kind of weird to be in a recruit's shoes because you never know how long his tenure there is going to be. Never know how successful it's going to be. So
I was kind of reading up on it before this, and everyone has a different opinion on why he left. And do you think anything to do with the fact that they're going to be playing in the SEC and maybe the Pac-12 schedule is a little more favorable for his style?
I didn't think about that. Pac-12 definitely fits his style of play.
Yeah, I'm sure LSU offered him the job.
But yeah, they did.
Yeah, and I mean, LSU, USC, both really great programs. I mean, which one do you want? And I feel like he's the perfect fit for USC. I think he's going to thrive there, honestly.
I think he might actually be there for a while.
Yeah, I do too. Like Pete Carroll type.
Seemed like a Pac-12 guy to me.
Well, I'm excited to play him, though.
Yeah,
for sure. Excited to play him.
Did you visit USC?
Yeah, I think it was like probably sophomore, junior year.
What was your first offer?
Kansas.
That's random.
I never talked to them, though. That's the weirdest thing.
Did your coach tell you or something?
It was like a mentor, but yeah, like they connected to him and he just told me that I got offered. And they showed me like the whole thing and everything. I was like,
they beat Texas.
Well, yeah, they did beat Texas. So we want to touch on this. Like the season's kind of wrapping up at this point. Another semester's wrapping up. How do you guys think that you've changed, like as a man, as an athlete, just as a person as a whole, since you've been here, like for the better? Or for the worse? Do you think you've gotten worse since you've been here?
Me personally, I think I've grown like intellectually a lot and just maturity wise. I think I don't know how to say this in a good way, but like the people I was surrounded by in high school, I guess, I feel like it was kind of hindering to people's personalities. All the people that you hung around with, everyone in the school had like a similar personality, similar interests, things of that sort. And I feel like coming to college allowed me to grow, allowed me to get around people who have the same interests as me. And then outside of football, just meeting people and taking small things from them and putting it into my bag has just allowed me to grow intellectually.
Definitely has challenged me in like every facet, like mentally, physically, emotionally. And I definitely appreciate that. It's hard to appreciate that in the time because like, why am I taking all these classes, like with this schedule and everything? But we talk about it all the time, like the Notre Dame experience, the value you get from Notre Dame. It's like hard to match across the country. And I feel like we've all seen that. We've all experienced that. And at the end of the day, I definitely think that I've grown in my ability to meet people, like my interactions, like this podcast, for example. Like you guys know, I'm probably typically more of a shy guy, but college itself kind of forces you to reach out and become more vocal, become, you know, like who you are. And at the end of the day, I'm definitely appreciate Notre Dame. I think it's different than a lot of places and it helps you grow in a lot of ways that you don't really realize until possibly after. You know?
College like forces you to open up, and this is like the best place to do it. Open up and make connections, make some relationships. That was the one thing I learned like from freshman year. And my dad was just harping on telling me all the time, just make those connections. But this is the best place to do it. Making connections with your teachers, the peers around you, and surrounding yourself with just like-minded people. That's what he always used to tell me. Surround yourself with like-minded people, the people with the same goals that you're going for. And yeah, that's just like Notre Dame. It just changed me a lot. It made me more mature for sure. Way more mature. I just feel like I just grow up faster than when I was back home. But back home, a lot of stuff was just handed to me. Like I'm with my parents all the time. They feed me this, feed me that. You give me this, give me that, like most of the time. But like here, you're like, we got my own apartment now. We all have our own apartment. We live in our own, but we live with other people. that's not a family, but they become family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And that was good, huh?
But yeah,
that's what you're on here for. Dropping knowledge like
they
that.
They become family, and you know, you just build those relationships, like I was saying in the beginning. But Notre Dame is definitely the best place and best decision I've made.
On top of what all y'all said, like, of course, I agree. I think that's the best answer. I mean, that's the way I feel like I've been impacted a lot. But I guess going like a step further, I feel like Notre Dame's helped me like learn how to balance stress and also learn how to like balance what is important to you, kind of prioritize. Everyone says prioritize your tasks, prioritize what you got going on during the day. But like nobody really tells you how to prioritize your beliefs, your values, because you're going to get put in a lot of certain situations and experiences that you're going to have to kind of fall back on your character and like really see, all right, who am I? Who do I want to be going forward? Who have I been up to this point? And what I'm about to do in the situation is going to impact that. And I feel like Notre Dame puts you in a lot of situations like that. So I feel like Notre Dame really has made me learn how to balance myself in general. Mm-hmm. Actually kind of figure out your values and your characteristics and who you are as a person. That's what I feel like. So
yeah,
that was a jewel, bro.
Yeah, that was a jewel, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, coaches need to use this podcast for recruiting, bro.
Yeah,
I'm good, telling bro. You, bro. Yeah, that was well said. I would say Notre Dame honestly gave me what I wanted out of it. I thought going into this, I was more than a football player, but I feel like it's taught me that like I can be more than a football player, because everybody thinks that out of high school, like everybody says, like, oh, they want the 4 for 40, like all that stuff. But everybody truly wants that. And I feel like after being here, if I went to some of the other schools I was considering, I probably have trouble saying that, yeah, I am more than a football player. Mm-hmm. And I feel like here, even hanging out with like non-athletes, they treat you a certain type of way that's not how other schools would treat you, not celebrity-like. Like these are like real friends, like my high school friends. And they see me as Kyle more than just like number 14.
Yeah.
I think we're the only combination of like great football to the point where it could be like that, but then great people who are like not seeing us like that and see us as more than that. Shout out Indy.
If y'all could describe this football season or year or whatever in one word, what would you say? For me, I would say it would be a relief.
Why is that?
For me, being able to get my first start in, mm-hmm. not just to start, but play the way that I've been able to play, God willingly. That's something I've been waiting for since freshman year. But outside of that, this with COVID, like dealing with all that last year, not really being able to reach out for potential as people, I think I was just like more appreciative of like, mm-hmm. I guess life in a sense, because that was kind of like taken, like hindered last year.
Yeah, sure.
So I think relief.
I'd probably say just blessed, honestly. For the most part, everybody around me is healthy. And in terms of school, like doing well and there and like stuff like that, everything's working out. And then football, there's like big expectations, stuff like that. And I was honestly like super nervous going to the Florida State game, because I'm like, I know people are watching me and I'm like, am I as good as everybody's saying? And then like I play well and I'm like, that's just relief, like I'm just blessed to be playing well. And then obviously the injury happened against USC, but then looking back on it, I'm just blessed that it wasn't anything super serious. Like I don't have to get surgery, thank God. And that's just a blessing in a sense, because that could have flipped my whole life around. But I would just say I'm blessed right now, just the whole year.
Not trying to be so dramatic, but like a little bit like life changing. Like this season, like Cam was saying, just like a relief. Because in the beginning
of
the season,
I'll let it go.
It's one word.
There's a dash. I'll give you a dash in there.
In the beginning of the season, I wouldn't say like depressed, but I was just like real sad. Because right before fall camp, I'm not even trying to make this like all emotional or anything.
No, go ahead.
You're deep, bro.
You ain't cried yet on the podcast.
I'm not gonna cry. But like beginning of fall camp, you guys know I was like dating my girl for hella long, and then we broke up right before fall camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And having fall camp, having football like all the time, especially during fall camp, you just have football all the time. That was just a mind distracting me like from something I didn't want to really focus on. It just helped me through that situation. So, and it basically helped me throughout this whole entire season, not having me not to think about it as much, and just put me better in a better mind state. And with this season, this like Cam was saying too, like the first start, and this is my first start this whole season, and I just took full advantage of it, and it's been going well so far, and it puts you in a position to make that decision at the end of the season that you don't know if you should leave or you should like stay, but this is the best situation that you can be in.
It's a good problem to have.
There's a lot of people that want
to
be in that.
That's great problem to have.
My word is like life changing, because just, well, yeah, football puts you in like the right position to like make those decisions.
Facts. You can't really describe anything like this, but I'll just say perspective. It can mean perspective for me as far as how I felt about this season. It can mean perspective for this team or even perspective for fans, really. I mean, like, everyone thought this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And for us, our perspective, we're looking at it like this isn't a rebuilding year. As we always said, this was a year we expected to do this. Mm-hmm. But from their perspective, we weren't supposed to be here. We weren't supposed to be doing what we're doing. Personally, I would say perspective because although my role may not be as big on the team, I still feel like I've had a big role as far as like kind of helping some young guys come along, being there for them and like kind of understanding, like especially in the safety room, I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I feel like
there's so many new faces.
Yeah, so many new faces. And I would say my perspective, you know, just like changing, although things may not be going your way, may not go your way or whatever it is, just kind of changing perspective and be like, you're still here. So there's going to be, there's a role you have to fill at the end of the day, wherever that may be, whether it's being good teammate, good boyfriend, good student, good son, brother, anything. So that's why just different perspective, different roles. That's how I feel about it.
I've definitely enjoyed this semester and like this year, but my word would probably be challenging because as you guys know, like I'm a walk on. So in reality, it's like zero game time. Right. And so it's, I don't know. It's difficult to do the same things every day, right? With the result mostly being the same, right? And the goal is to play, right? But the goal for me is not the same for you guys. Obviously, you guys are all playing. And going into college, I kind of knew that. You know, as a walk-on, it was, everyone's like, oh, you're getting like Chris Fink and like all this stuff. And, oh, it's like, it's a cool idea, right? It's cool. And then as a freshman and a sophomore, you can kind of be like, oh, no, I'm redshirting, right? Like I'm not traveling because I'm redshirting. Sophomore year, it's like, whatever. You're still kind of young. As a junior, it does stink because obviously I'm home more often in away games, right? I'm not traveling. And you get to the point where people start to ask you, and I don't want it to seem like I'm worrying about what other people think, but it is tough. It's like, oh, you're traveling this week. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'll be in town. And sometimes it's nice to be in town, but at the end of the day, it's like you're junior and you feel like kind of almost embarrassed to be not traveling, right? And at the hotel, I got to get up early to go to the Goog in the morning on Saturday. I want to be able to hang out with my friends a lot of time, but I can't because of football and I can't because of school. So I'm like, it's hard to go to football at a time when like you're not really bearing the fruits of it necessarily on the field. And would I do it again? Yeah, I would do it again. I would be a walk-on. I would sacrifice all that stuff. At the end of the day, I think it's like I said earlier, shaped me to be a better person. But it is challenging because the perspective you get, as KJ was saying, gain a lot of perspective. But I gained a lot of perspective, like kind of in the back, right? Not necessarily perspective like on the field and all that stuff. So challenging for me. Obviously, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here when I say that.
But
junior year comes around and you kind of like, oh, I'm closer to the leaving college, I'm closer to entering into the professional world. So I got to speed everything up, right? At the end of the day, but it's also like you're still in college. You got to relax a little bit. Right. You got to take your time. I don't know. Yeah. There's kind of like a lot of stuff happened this semester on and off the field that I kind of had to like stop and take a look at and figure it out.
I feel like that was like, that whole segment was like the reason we started the podcast, honestly, because that's something nobody listened to would ever know. Maybe we wouldn't even know like each other.
Yeah, honestly,
like, we wouldn't even say that. But that's pretty dope that we can do that.
That was very well said.
Yeah, that was very well said. That was real shit.
Kudos to Connor and KJ for talking really well.
Kudos to
Zay. You could use some work.
Really?
All right, we're gonna move on to Outside the Garage now. We have a few questions today. First one. This comes from, I'm going to butcher the name, at Kaya_Lee on Instagram. So you guys have been seeing all the red flags on social media. Red flag this, that's a red flag, this is a red flag. What's y'all's biggest red flags when it comes to girls? Just give one. Who wants to start?
I don't want to start.
And this is like,
start. This is like a deal breaker.
Plosky to guess. Let's
girls like you start. Might consider dating.
Hypothetically, if you were interested in a girl and then this happened.
Okay, I getcha.
I can start. I would say... I just don't like lazy people. I mean, a lot of people do, and I don't want to sound that kind of way, but like waking up at like 1 and then like not doing anything and then
there's days
where you sleep in, but like consistently and you're just like, I don't really do anything. Like I want like my girl to like be like doing stuff throughout the day, like kind of motivated and like self-righteous and like I feel like if you're just lazy and just let things happen around you, I feel like I'm like waiting on you to do something because you're just unmotivated. And I don't want to be around somebody like that because then that'll make me like.
Mine's similar to that. I want, obviously I'm single, but in this,
you want.
Don't take this too seriously.
Obviously.
You want. You want. Hold on. I thought we were talking about red flags.
You want. What? No, I'm leading you into that case.
Like, obviously I'm single.
Whatever. You guys take it as it is. But I was going to say, I want a girl that would like challenge me in like every kind of area, like academically, everything, all that stuff. She's got stuff going for her, right? She's not.
She don't need you.
She doesn't need me, right?
So, like, on that.
I mean, on the flip side of that, the red flag would be she does need me for like all the stuff that, like, the after college stuff. Like, I don't know, like she would be waiting for me to get a job, right? And not every person has to have like a planned out future, obviously, like what they want to do exactly. The exact, but someone that's like motivated, you know, unmotivated, it would probably be like the red flag.
Your red flag, I would probably say. Like if she, like you're talking to her for a little bit, you just find out that she just knew who you were all along. Like you knew who you were, like a football player, and she's there basically just for the clout. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
I don't know if that's a turnoff for everybody, but I feel like that's a turnoff for like a lot of guys. If
no, that makes sense.
You're there for the clout.
If you're like that.
Yeah.
Me and Reese are actually talking about that. Like with Drake, like, you know, Drake's all soft in his songs, like saying girls did him dirty. We're like, that's probably real shit though. Cause he's Drake.
Yeah.
And any girl at this point from here on out until he dies, like,
all he wants
you, in the
true.
Back of his head, he's like, is she really messing with me or is she just a good actress?
That's always in the back of everybody's head. That's back of my head all the time.
It's a struggle when you're a college football player. Like, not to say that we're Drake, nowhere near Drake. But like, you question, like, is this girl with me because I'm a football player or does she actually like me?
Right.
You know what I mean? But red flag for me is I don't like a girl that's pretentious.
Like stuck up?
Like full of herself, you know what I mean? Like, Me. Mm-hmm. There's no giving. There's no like understanding. I gotta make sure I'm the prettiest girl there. Just stand there. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's like, nah. It's time to turn me off.
Mine probably have to be my red flag. Just no confidence. Like once you get to know me, I have like a bigger personality. Just someone that can't really match that or has no real like confidence within themselves. I feel like that would just be a red. Not really a red flag, but like a turnoff. I guess you could say.
Yeah. I want a girl that like cuss me out.
Yeah.
Get on, but I do something. Like, bro, what's wrong with you, bro?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, my
challenge
fault,
everything.
My bad.
TTS.
Challenge everything.
Challenge everything.
TTS.
It's probably where he came up with that.
Shout out Coach Freeman.
Oh, my God.
Second one. Second outside of garage question. A lot less.
A little different.
A lot less angst behind it. This comes from Matt Cole Silva. Favorite Christmas movie?
The Grinch.
Not cartoon, right?
No, oh, the real one, the original one.
Is that Jim Carrey?
With Jim Carrey, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
ooh, I got it.
Home Alone.
Mm,
I like the first one.
First one? Did you like the second one?
I thought the second one was
the
least. Yeah. I like the first one, fourth one, second one, and third one.
The fourth one? It's not even Macaulay Culkin. It's a different kid.
But I like it, bro.
I've never heard that in my life.
There's a fourth one?
Yeah. It's a different kid in the third.
And fourth?
Yeah.
He grew out of the role.
Yeah, I mean, 16 years old. It's like, all right. It's like, all right, Kevin, you 18 now. Like, get on the flight.
Bucket coming down the stairs. For me, I would say The Polar Express. It's a cartoon, but I just love that movie. And kind of funny, I think Tom Hanks does like all of the male roles.
I know he does the ghost, the conductor, and Santa.
I learned that kind of recently, and I thought that was kind of cool. The Polar Express for me.
Mine is... I forgot what movie it is, but it just came to mind. You know, it just came to mind. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. He's like trying to find his toy for his son, and he's like going through everything trying to find his toy, and he finds a toy. It was like Jingle All the Way.
I've never seen that.
We gotta
Jingle
watch
All
it.
The Way. That's I love that movie.
We always watch Christmas Story at my house. This is my dad's. That's my dad's favorite movie, actually.
Mm.
But I feel like it's still played out now because I've seen it every year since I've been alive. So
this movie,
I probably have to say. The Nightmare Before Christmas. I like that movie.
I would say either Polar Express or Elf. I also like The Santa Claus, the one with Tim Allen, where you turn to the Santa Claus. Yeah. That one's good too.
The Grinch is good too, though.
I love
That's
the
a
Grinch,
really
bro.
Good movie.
A lot of good. Right. Christmas Vacation. I love that movie. It's so funny.
So we're going to wrap it up there. Zay, appreciate you coming on again.
Yeah,
applause. Thank you, Zay.
Yes,
follow on Instagram, Twitter.
Isaiah.Foskey, you know, something simple.
Oh, yeah.
Isaiah.Foskey.
Isaiah.Foskey, oh, wow. You can find him.
Wow.
He's the one with the big head. No, I appreciate you coming on again, bro. Maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah. Come along.
You want to make a big announcement right now? You ready to make the... Are you staying? Are you leaving? You want to make it on the podcast?
I like to say... No, I'm joking. I don't know.
I was like, yo, you
got to
do this
right now? I don't know.
All right, appreciate y'all. See y'all next week.
Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it.
How do you prepare your kids today to succeed in tomorrow's world? With Juuni, the online learning experience equipping the next generation of students to solve the world's largest problems. Choose from popular STEAM courses like coding, investing, novel writing, and all-new robotics, crypto, app development, 3D design, and more. With all types of learning formats and project-based curriculum, your student will be ready to take on the real world. Visit junilearning.com and enter promo code IHEART30 at checkout for 30% off.
Do you suffer from Zoom fatigue? Otter.ai is here to help. Use Otter.ai to get automatic meeting notes. You can even step away from the meeting and catch up anytime. Get started for free at Otter.ai or download in the app stores. That's Otter.ai. Do you suffer from Zoom fatigue? Otter.ai is here to help. Use Otter.ai to get automatic meeting notes. You can even step away from the meeting and catch up anytime. Get started for free at Otter.ai or download in the app stores. That's Otter.ai.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Watch sensational Grand Slam action on Tennis Channel as top stars clash at Roland Garros in Paris. Catch all the excitement.
What a shot! Come on now!
With Tennis Channel's comprehensive coverage as we bring you live matches and nightly encores, plus match previews.
That is awesome!
Don't miss one of the greatest events in all of sports, Roland Garros, the French Open. Daily live coverage on Tennis Channel, now through June 9th.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.